Chapter 19. It's morning, and Adia waits for Admiral Sloan. Adia realizes that in the grand scheme of things, she is of little import. An attaché, an assistant. She hands papers, fetches cups of caff, asks for signatures, delivers communications. But one day, maybe she'll be something more. This is a glorious time to be alive. The Empire is reeling. That is itself not a good thing. But in those cracks and fractures waits opportunity. Every crack is a place where Adia can ease the tip of her foot. She can widen those gaps and find a place for herself in there. It's why she admires Sloan so much. The Admiral understands. The Admiral is making the best of this situation. And right now, Adia has bad news to deliver. That thrills her, honestly. It shouldn't, probably. Bad news is, by its designation, declaratively and objectively bad. But it's the reaction that matters. People are made under duress. They are formed by crisis. Adia grew up on Coruscant, but her parents were not important people. Her father was a welder. Not so low that they had to work in the bowels of the city world. He worked prime jobs for the Empire, but he still got his hands dirty. And burned, and cut. Until one day there were arthritic claws of scar tissue and callus. She always marveled how the laser welders could make or break things. How they could join pieces together, or cut them apart. This is like that. Crisis will bring them all together or destroy them. But she believes that Sloan will be made by this crisis. Not just this small one she's about to hand deliver, but the larger crisis. She admires Sloan greatly. She would hate to disappoint the Admiral. Ray stands under the spray of an ice-cold shower. Piped in straight from the canyon, the satrap said. The purest water you will find on Akiva. The old Ahaya Ko people believed the water was so pure, it could take from you your sins and leave you a better person. If only that were true. She keeps the water cold because that's how the showers were on her first assignment so many years ago. When she was just a cadet aboard the Imperial Star Destroyer Defiance. She grew to like it. The cold water toughened her, woke her up, just like it is now. Plus, it's a necessary contrast with the heat here. Soon as she steps out of the shower, that heat assaults her. Yes, the hot, humid air is invisible, but no less tangible. It feels like she's walking through boiling swamp water, drowning while standing. Out in the luxurious room that the satrap has furnished for Ray, Adia waits. Morning light illuminates her as she stands there, dutiful as a coat rack, a holoscreen in her hand.
You got some sleep?
Ray asks, toweling off her head.
Yes, Admiral,
Adia says, averting her eyes and blushing as Ray dries and dresses herself. Adia isn't true military. Ray sometimes forgets that those outside the Navy or the Army don't share the same experience. Sloane's nudity isn't meant to be anything other than a transitional state. Nothing romantic. Nothing shameful. It is a practical fact of existence.
Good, Sloan says. Sleep will be necessary for the day ahead.
I thought the meeting went well.
The meeting went well the same way a crash landing goes well. It was an ineffective, inconsequential first step.
Ray steps into her uniform, smoothing out the wrinkles. At least that's one good thing the humidity gives her.
And her hair looks actually sort of amazing, for the first time in how many years? Appearance figures very little into how she sees herself, but once in a while it's nice to remember what she really looks like.
We will try again today. That said, I don't expect much. This is just the first summit. We may need more. Bring in more voices. Tell Morna that she should have the shuttle ready just after dinner.
Of course, Admiral. Do you expect that we will summon the Vigilance back to orbit? Or should Morna plot hyperspace calculations into the shuttle compute?
Adia's screen flashes. Once, twice, then goes red.
Rey furrows her brow. What is it now?
We have a situation. An incursion.